Welcome to the world of the art on the Vindam. Now don't worry, this is not going to be one of those dull museum tours that requires, well, a couple of hours of close attention. You don't even have to whisper. But it will give you a starting point to help you appreciate some of the art treasures aboard. I'm Paul Lasley.
And I'm Elizabeth Harriman. We're going to take you around the Vindam today and show you some of the art selected exclusively for the Vindam by Holland America Line. Let's begin the tour right here in the Explorations Cafe. Have a seat and get comfortable in one of those plush leather chairs or couches while we explain a little about the tour.
First, a little background. Art has always been important to Holland America, and traditionally the ships have always been filled with notable art. Today, the collection ranks among the largest at sea and is worth many millions of dollars. As you'll see as we take you on the tour, the art includes many museum-quality antiques, as well as contemporary art by recognized artists and some newcomers. Stein Kruse, president and CEO of Holland America Line, explains how important the art is to the line's heritage.
When Holland America Line was founded in 1873, our company quickly became a leader in bringing new and modern innovations to cruising. And to this present day, we continue that proud tradition. As you follow along on this art tour, notice how our architect Frans Dingemans has created a unique environment for you to enjoy. And Frans has placed the art very carefully to create a comfortable setting where you can enjoy all the onboard experiences we have for you.
Architect Frans Dingemans of Utrecht in the Netherlands has designed the interiors of each of Holland America Line's ships. Everything, the colors, the fabrics, the furniture, even the ceilings and floors, are meant to be a part of the whole look and feel of the ship. Often Dingemans will create the look of an entire room around the art that he has selected for it.
Holland America Line always decorated their ships with contemporary art, modern art, and conventional art to bring together an art collection, total environment of the ship and the rooms you're sitting in. The way you do that is basically following your own heart.
Dingemans incorporate certain themes into each ship. Now here on the Vindam, one theme is flowers. You'll see flowers used in art objects all around the ship. And Dingemans even carries out the theme with flowered motifs in stateroom hallways and doorways.
Now, before we begin, just a word about your iPods. You'll find helpful directions on the back. Also, feel free to pause your iPod at the end of some of the chapters and at any time during the tour to give yourself time to get to the location of the next artwork, or if you'd like more time to admire something. Coming up, you'll be on Chapter 2.
Chapter 2. Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck, Aft. Okay, ready to go exploring? Let's walk out of the Explorations Cafe. In front of you is an alabaster sculpture of a child reading a book. Doesn't that bring back memories of childhood? Those hours lost in the wonder of a book's imaginary world. I can still remember them. Chapter 3, Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck, Aft.
As you turn to your right, you'll come to a display case of pre-Columbian Mayan works, all dating from 500 BC to 950 AD, including head of a Mayan god or ruler. There are also some remarkable footed bowls from an early culture in the northern Andes. These provide a glimpse into the richness of the indigenous cultures that the Spanish found here in the Americas.
Imagine the hands of a pre-Columbian woman molding this bowl for everyday use, then preparing food for the day as she sits down for a meal with her family in those ancient times. You'll find such a wide variety of art on the Vindam, it'll give you a chance to stretch your imagination and think of what the world must have been like in earlier times. That's one of the joys of ancient art. It inspires imagination. Chapter 4, Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck, Aft.
As we go aft towards the Rotterdam dining room on Deck 8, the upper promenade deck, you'll be near the aft stairway on the port side of the ship. Here, you'll see a large, fanciful painting by Peter Hartwig of the Netherlands. It's a carousel of whales. Well, that's part of the work, anyway. Imagine that. It's called The Arrival, The Ship. And it's a triptych by Peter Hartwig, who lives in Groningen in the Netherlands.
Now walk aft and go past the Rotterdam dining room. We'll tell you more about that in a minute. And go around the corner to the starboard side. There you'll see another work by the other half of this team of artists, Frank Lisser. This painting is called Arrival of the Key. It really is surreal, isn't it? We'll leave you to work out what it means. But Frank Lisser and Peter Hartwig work together. Their styles are so similar that it's really hard even for experts to tell who painted what. They told us that their goal is to create a slight air of mystery in their work. Well, I think they've done that here. Chapter 5, Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck, Aft. Now, since we're near the Rotterdam dining room, take a moment when you're at a meal here to look at the floral motif of Venetian glass flowers in the ceiling and the Venetian glass lanterns around the room. These are modeled after lanterns that were used in Venice during its golden age. And at some point during the cruise, take a moment to go down to the lower dining room and view the murals by Tim Maguire. They're on each side of the ship in the back.
Maguire, who paints in France, has become an acclaimed and very successful artist. He painted these for the Vendome shortly after he'd come to Europe, after winning a prestigious prize for Australian artists. He's done floral paintings for other Holland America ships.
Chapter 6, Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck, Aft.
Also on this side, there's an amazing table made of ornate marble. It's got a Cupid clock complete with a bow and an elaborate gilded mirror. It's designed to look like a George III 19th century mirror, but it's actually made in the 20th century. See the extremely fine workmanship. What you may find in a fine home.
You know, we've seen the restoration work that goes into some of these pieces. The restorers that Dingemans uses are often the same ones that the great museums in Holland use. One day we watched as an artist applied gilding to a frame that was being restored for the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam. You know, the art is that they never make it look new, but rather as it looked at a certain period. There's a real art just to the restoration. Chapter 7, Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck, Midships. Okay, from the mantel clock, walk forward to just before the Explorer's Lounge. You can pause your iPod here until you reach a remarkable collection in the hallway ahead. It's Brazilian featherwork made by natives of the Amazon region, and it depicts ceremonial dance regalia. Blue, yellow, and scarlet macaw feathers are affixed with beeswax to a semicircular plank of wood, while the center part of the mask is an abstract reproduction of a human face made with a mosaic of other feathers. And the rectangular eyes? They're made of mother-of-pearl.
The early Portuguese explorers called large masks like this cara grande, or big face. Well, you can sort of see that. Whereas the natives called them upe. Historically, they were used before warfare to frighten and impress the enemy. I think they're too beautiful for that. Upe actually means enemy warrior. Nowadays, the masks are used by men during the Upe festival to celebrate the harvest. But one thing is certain. I wouldn't want to meet the wearer of one of these in a darkened Amazon rainforest.
I don't think I would either. Now, to start the next chapter, head into the Explorer's Lounge, which is on the starboard side and just ahead. Chapter 8, Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck, Midships.
The large painting on the wall of the hallway is depicting the golden age of sail. It's after Willem van de Velde, who painted in the Netherlands in the second half of the 18th century. These maritime paintings are really windows on history. They show us what the world of ships was like at the time. Remember that the ships were even more important than airplanes are today to the world's commerce. Now, turn into the Explorer's Lounge and do some exploring with us. First, take a look at the remarkable Dutch colonial cabinet here. It's filled with very ornate and gorgeous Chinese porcelain. The dining service dates from the late 16th century.
Note that gorgeous blue decoration of houses and a pagoda on the banks of a river with figures that are walking on a bridge or sitting in small boats. This porcelain was wildly popular at the time and is still valuable today.
And remember we told you about the floral theme that is used on the ship? Well, notice the flower pattern decoration on many of these pieces. The cabinet itself was actually specifically designed to display such works in just this way. It's an antique itself and was built in the late 18th century.
You know, according to art historians, the tradition of showcasing rare and valuable items came into vogue in the 17th and 18th centuries and was usually reserved for status symbols that reflected the collector's standing in society. And these cabinets and cases were generally the most elaborate pieces of furniture to be found in European houses. They were often made of rare woods, such as the teak and elm wood so beautifully used here. And remember, this was built by hand, way before power tools.
Now, next to this cabinet is a classic painting of still life flowers by a Dutch artist. Well, it's called Still Life of Flowers in a Vase by Jan van Huysum. He was a famous Dutch painter of flowers, still lifes, and landscapes, and he worked in Amsterdam in the 17th century. He had many copiers both in Holland and Flanders and elsewhere in Europe. Until as late as the mid-19th century, they were still copying his work. But there's a mystery here. His creation of the painting is somewhat in doubt. Though the painting bears the signature of Jan van Huysum in the left corner, some assume on stylistic grounds that it's, well, not from his hand.
A mystery. Well, Stephen Brideson, a Holland America cruise director whose parents are artists, hears comments from the guests all the time about the art on board the ships, and especially on one aspect of the art.
Much of my family, photographers, singers. Wow. Yeah.
What impresses you most about the art on board the ship? You've been on ships now with Holland America.
Several of them, yes. Yeah. I would have to say the thing that I really appreciate the most about the art on board is that, obviously, it's original, but it's classically inspired, and I really appreciate that. I know that we're surrounded by a lot of modern influences, which I appreciate as well, but in the concept of Holland America Line, its signature of excellence, that we cater to a traditional energy on our ships. We have ships that look like cruise ships.
On the other side of the lounge, forward, there's a most interesting painting depicting the Bay of Naples with Mount Vesuvius. Its significance as art is that it shows the volcano with smoke coming from the crater in the distance. It was painted in 1855 at a time that we know the volcano was smoking. It's primitive in technique, yet historically significant.
Chapter 9, Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck, Midships.
Exiting the Explorer's Lounge, that's forward on Deck 8, we come to these two very elaborate display cases. On the starboard side, the case includes a collection of antique bottles recovered from various shipwrecks. Note the patina, which is caused by being buried in the ocean for over a century. There are also some mother-of-pearl gaming tokens. There's probably a story there, and in the center, there's a prisoner of war model. It's made in England in the early 19th century.
These are called prisoner of war models because they were made by sailors who were captured, and to pass the time, well, they made these models. They're very valuable today, and although we'll never know the story about the man who made this one, it was obviously made by someone who had great skill and a lot of time. Most of them were made of bone, because that's what the prisoners had.
Now on the port side is a marvelous silver collection, done in the Netherlands and Germany and Belgium from about the 15th to the 18th century. Note the silver-mounted coconuts and the nautilus shell. These were such precious objects at the time, so collectors emphasized their worth by adding precious metals to them.
And nearby, you can see two busts made of onyx and marble from Italy. There are three different types of colored marble in each bust. They're from the 19th century, and they show the remarkable workmanship that was done at the time. You can still find artists doing this work today.
Now continue walking forward on Deck 8, the upper promenade deck. We're on the starboard side, remember. Don't overlook the iron strongbox that was made in the Netherlands in the 17th century. These iron strongboxes have a story. They were common to 17th century ships, and this one is made of sheet iron, metal ribbons, and spherical nails. The lock on the front is purely ornamental. The real lock is located under a small cover. You know what's interesting about them? These strongboxes were used as ships' vaults, and they were usually riveted to the bottom deck of the ship or affixed somewhere in the captain's cabin.
Captain's cabin, of course. Chapter 10, Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck, Midships.
Now take a moment to look into the piano bar. You'll see a special collection of glass by Bernard Heeson. His studio is De Oude Hoorn, and the several glass pieces are actually a collection that's designed to be shown together. Also notice the flower theme in the upholstery of the piano bar. There are even flowers in the little panels on the ceiling of the bar. It's all very stylized. From the piano bar, head out, turn left, and go forward. We'll meet you again in the casino bar, where the next chapter begins.
Chapter 11, Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck, Midships.
Standing in front of the big TV screen, you'll see two large ship models by Joop Clobus. They are both of American sailing yachts. They were built from the original blueprints by Clobus. The Westward, which dates from 1910, is on your right, and the Coronet, which sailed in 1885, is on your left as you face the TV. Clobus was a psychiatrist who turned to model making late in life. He specialized in making super accurate working models. Everything that is supposed to move does. And you can see why, well, you can even raise and lower the sails. Notice the amazing miniature detail. Clobus worked for nearly a year on each of these.
One of the things that Holland America Line is noted for is the large collection of museum-quality ship models that Franz Dingemans has placed on each of the ships. Fritz Lohmeyer, who is executive director of the Maritime Museum in Rotterdam, well, that's widely considered to be one of the best in the world, he's very familiar with the art and the ship models on board Holland America Line ships.
But from the view of a curator, a museum's curator, it is the historical context, really. People nowadays can enjoy it, and they can see if they really look, and that you have to learn, perhaps, what is the difference between real art quality or real ship models and remakes. Well, it is, again, a source of knowledge, and it gives you not only a picture, but a feeling, and if you are really interested in understanding of what maritime life is.
Chapter 12, Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck, Midships. Continuing around the side of the casino bar, before the atrium, look to your left. That is one amazing barbecue. It's a trionfi. Well, it's a sort of a metal barbecue from Spain from the 18th century.
Now, it's a lot different from the one in our backyard. But look at the inlaid marble floor, which looks like it came from a castle in Siena, Italy, which actually it does. Originally, the oven or barbecue might have been set on just such a floor.
Think of the hamburgers you could cook on that.
Yeah, but who would clean it?
Not I. Well, now, head to the atrium. Our next chapter begins there. Chapter 13, Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck, Forward.
Now, this is Jacob's Ladder. Luciano Vistosi, a glass artist who lives on the island of Murano in Venice, made it for the Vindam. He's renowned for building monumental glass works. In fact, we saw a model for a crystal bridge he was planning to build in Venice one day. We were with him when he chose the glass for this. You know, he studied chemistry in college so that he could create formulas for the colors of the glass that he uses. Think of this. Each piece is absolutely unique. It's cut and polished and placed by the artist in an exact order. This is glass that is cast rather than blown, and then it's cut and polished. Jacob's Ladder is a neat name for this.
Oh, and with the lights playing off the shapes of glass, it's really wonderful to watch as you move around it. There are various colors of blue and red and green. I think it's fabulous.
There are more colors there than you realize. Now, on the starboard side of the atrium is the ocean bar. Let's go inside the ocean bar, and the next chapter will begin there.
Chapter 14, Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck, Forward. Let's spend some time exploring the art in the ocean bar. First, notice the two wooden busts of male figures. They date from the first of the 17th century, and they're from Italy. And notice the really striking marine painting of two ships locked in combat and shooting cannons at each other at close quarters. That's called An English and a Dutch Frigate in Action in the Channel. Well, they certainly are in action. It's a 19th century oil-on-canvas painting, And it really captures the action of a naval battle of the time.
You know, one of the interesting things about this painting is the wonderful movement. Look at the clouds, the smoke rising from the waves, and the billowing sails. Everything evokes the action. And don't overlook the small colored glass balls on the tables while you're at it. They're actually lights, but they look like those elaborate Venetian glass paperweights you can buy today in Venice.
Look at them closely, and you can see that they continue to carry out the flowered theme again. We told you that you'd see themes carried out in subtle ways throughout the ship. Now, toward the center of the ocean bar is a very interesting ship. However, it's not a model, and it's not a weather vane. What do you think it is? Well, it's a signboard from a naval store in Normandy, France. It was made in the 19th century, and the shape is a model of a Spanish galleon.
Sort of early advertising. Well, you know the galleons were large sailing ships having three or more masts which ruled the waves for Spain around the 16th century. Remember the Spanish Armada? They were, however, very unseaworthy and cumbersome to sail, so the galleons weren't able to cope with smaller and faster ships, nor the prevailing harsh weather conditions. The unconquerable Spanish Armada soon learned this as they suffered a crushing defeat to the British and Dutch in stormy weather. And while you're in the ocean bar, look down and note the intricate inlaid marble pattern of the dance floor. This is a theme carried out in many floors from palaces across Europe and here on the Veendam. It's sort of a carpet design if you think about it.
One of the things to keep in mind is that many artistic elements of this ship are often missed because people tend not to look up or down, from the dance floors below to the ceilings above. So here, definitely take a moment to admire the ceiling above the bar itself. It's a sculpture called Monumental Ceiling by Marie Rowling, a Dutch artist. To me, it looks like crushed satin.
And it has fiber optic lights which, well, they shine through like twinkling stars. And finally, out in front of the ocean bar near Jacob's Ladder is this bronze fountain from the 18th century. Note the detail in the fish, the boy, and the turtle at his feet.
Chapter 15, Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck, Forward. Continue forward from the starboard side of the forward staircase and stop before you get to the Rubens Lounge.
Here, there are two things to notice. Above you are two round ceiling murals, one on the port side and one on the starboard side, and both are entitled Starry Sky by an Irish artist, Wout Müller. He was an artist who lived near Waterford in Ireland, and he painted remarkable scenes like these, but also made some whimsical models of sailing ships, which are on other Holland America Line ships in the fleet. Incidentally, the stars in the ceiling panels are accurately placed, just as they would be in the night sky.
Now look at the interesting small piece in the display case on the wall. It's a glazed temple roof ornament from Vietnam, from the 19th century. Look at the beautiful detail and colors. Can't you just imagine that on a colorful tile roof?
Cross over to the port side of Deck 8 and you'll see another Wout Müller ceiling piece. It's also called Starry Sky. Study them closely and you'll notice that this one has astrological figures from the zodiac and the constellations like Ursa Major and Ursa Minor.
Chapter 16, Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck, Forward.
Now, if you've missed your daily walk, well, in the forward staircase, well, we've come to think of it as a vertical art gallery, you'll find a series of oil paintings by one of the world's leading marine painters, Captain Stephen J. Card.
For each new Holland America ship, Card creates a collection of paintings. They typically depict the new vessel, as well as earlier Holland America ships that bore the same or similar names. In fact, all of Card's paintings for Holland America can be found in his book, Holland America Line, The Spotless Fleet. Do you ever wonder how an artist gets started? Here's Stephen Card.
Well, I've always painted. As a young boy, I painted various pictures. But when I was 17, I went away to sea. And I worked at sea for 13 years, rising through the ranks and eventually became captain on cargo ships. And I came back to Bermuda in 1984 and worked for a couple of years as harbor master. And then after that, I was not a very good civil servant, shall we say. And I decided to go back to sea, and while waiting for a job, I took up painting again. And then I sold a couple of paintings and decided to take up a full-time career as an artist.
Sometime during your cruise, check out all the card paintings in this staircase. Each painting is meticulously detailed and accurate for its time. Card told us that each painting he does is like visiting an old friend. He grew up in the 60s in Bermuda, and he saw all the classic Holland America Line ships as they called in Bermuda.
And being in Bermuda is what got Card his start as a marine painter. He grew up with a love of the sea and was a navigator, sea captain, and harbor master. Then one day in 1984, when Card was home in Bermuda, he received a call from Nico van der Vorm, then chairman of Holland America Line. Van der Vorm had seen a painting Card had done of a ship and asked him if he'd be interested in painting the 1980s era Noordam and New Amsterdam, as well as a portrait of the line's flagship, the Rotterdam. Stephen Card soon learned that his maritime background, well, helped his new endeavor. "I have a knowledge of the sea and how ships operate," he told us, "and that enables me to create accurate paintings of the ships." His paintings hang in the collections of several museums and on all the Holland America Line ships.
So, in the forward staircase, you'll see the paintings Card did for the Veendam. They are all in historical settings. Take some time to see what cruising was like in earlier times and what the earlier ships that bore the name Veendam looked like. I especially like the one of the first Veendam. It's shown leaving New York Harbor for Rotterdam on an early morning, with a Statue of Liberty in the background and a full-rigged sailing ship coming into the harbor. Take some time to study these paintings. You'll see an amazing amount of detail.
Pause your iPod if you decide to spend some time with Captain Card's art here in the forward staircase, and begin again on Deck 11, the Lido deck in the forward staircase. That's right above you.
Chapter 17, Deck 11, Lido deck, forward. Now look at the stairwell above you and below you. Here's a set of watercolor paintings by Wallace E. Teen.
You know, they're done on rice paper, which gives the watercolors a marvelous quality and texture. The artist allows the paints to bleed through and become very colorful, almost intensifies them.
The painting above you is called Chinese Girls, while the painting beneath you is called Jolie Dame. That means pretty lady. And she is a pretty lady, with a cat and more flowers. It's interesting how the artist manages to give the works both an Asian and a Western feeling at the same time.
Now, head for the Lido pool outside. There are some very interesting artworks there, and that's where our next chapter begins.
Chapter 18, Deck 11, Lido Deck, Forward. Now you should be on the Lido Deck, Deck 11, at the Lido pool area. Take a look at the statue of leaping dolphins at the end of the pool. These are by British sculptor Susanna Holt. She's designed animal statues for all the Holland America ships. She's done bears and penguins, but dolphins are her first love. She has spent countless hours observing dolphins in the wild. As a result, the sculptures seem full of life. Okay, now I have a question for you, Paul. Is this a group of dolphins leaping, or one dolphin in different stages of leaping?
Well, actually, I sort of cheated and asked Susanna. It's one dolphin leaping, according to her. What I find interesting is how she does the work.
First of all, I start with my imagination. I have to study the animal in the wild as much as it's possible to do. And then I produce drawings from those ideas, and then I develop a tiny model in wax on flexible wire support, and that I can manipulate easily, so I can get the flow and the movement of the animal at that stage, which is easy to pull around. When I have the movement and the flow I'm after, then I make a quarter life size, and every detail at that stage has to be perfect, because you don't change a whole lot from that stance. We then make a rubber mold from this model, and then plaster castings from the mold. And then from these plaster castings, we do the enlargement to life size. Then we make more rubber molds of the life size section. This takes a lot of time. The bronze can only be 3/8 of an inch thick, or the sculpture would distort and be too heavy. So we then chip away the ceramic shell and weld all the pieces together, heads, flukes, slippers, and so on.
You have many months of actual work involved in this, don't you?
Many months. And within the internal part of the dolphin, there is a very complex pattern of steel supports that supports the extreme cantilever and the weight. So the enlargement of the molds themselves take approximately 5 months, and the casting is about the same. So it requires me to study the dolphin well in advance.
Phew, being a sculptor is hard work. Well, after contemplating the leafing dolphin, head aft to the end of the swimming pool. That's where our next chapter begins. Chapter 19, Deck 11, Lido Deck, Midships.
Now, Dutch artist Jan Schnoek sculpts these colorful ceramic couches. Schnoek is in his 80s and is considered one of the ranking stars of Dutch art today. Some of his pieces on Holland America ships range from small works to the very large ones you see here, and he works in a variety of styles and forms. And some, which we'll see later, are of an entirely different dimension.
He is 80 years young and he has quite the sense of humor. Well, these chaise lounges seem to have heads and feet, like men.
Men?
Well, I think they're men. Anyway, they're functional pieces. They're meant to be sittable, loungeable art pieces.
Now continue aft along the starboard side of the ship to the Lido restaurant. About midway, you'll see a statue of a seafaring man. We'll meet you there for the next chapter.
Chapter 20, Deck 11, Lido Deck, Aft. Here he is, Neptune. In classical mythology, Neptune is the god who rules the sea and its inhabitants. Sailors invoked him to ensure a safe voyage, though when roused to anger, he would cause storms and shipwrecks in mythology, so it was very important to keep him happy.
Here he's portrayed as an old man with copious locks and beard. He may be astride a dolphin, sacred to him in antiquity. But regardless, I'm told this sculpture once stood in a Belgian garden. It dates from about the 18th century and has a great deal of dignity about it. Really captures the power of the god. Continue walking aft. That's to the back of the ship, past the Lido buffet.
Then turn to the aft stairwell, where the next chapter begins. Chapter 21, Deck 11, Lido Deck, Aft.
Remember we told you Jan Schnoek worked in different mediums? Well, here it's something like a tapestry. Well, more like a carpet, really. It's in the stairwell when you look up.
I think it's a very fanciful and beautiful carpet. It's called Up and Down. Looks to me as though he has various profiles of men and women. But are they facing right or facing left? What do you think, Paul?
I'm ambivalent.
Okay.
Also, notice the glass partitions in the elevator lobby. Everywhere you look, you'll see textured and colorful glass, which add an artistic flair to what might otherwise just be a separating wall.
Now, take the aft elevator or stairs down to Deck 8, the upper promenade deck. When you get to the atrium, go down the stairs one level or take the elevator down to Deck 7, forward. Now, if you take the stairs, you'll get some very interesting views of Jacob's Ladder, the glass centerpiece. Pause your iPod and begin again across from the front desk on Deck 7, midships. Chapter 22, Deck 7, Promenade Deck, Midships.
Take a moment to admire the detail of this marvelously preserved Dutch bronze cannon from around 1700. Remarkably, it doesn't show any signs of being submerged in the sea, nor is it heavily corroded. And what is very interesting is the marble it sits on. The marble was particularly chosen from Pietrasanta in Italy. It's a beautiful, subtle green pattern of marble, and it's really, well, it's a natural work of art in its own right.
Moving aft again on Deck 7, the promenade deck, you'll see something really wonderful. It's in a display case just past the Waiyang Theater. This is really something rare. It's Tosegusuko samurai armor from late 17th century Japan. The armor was made so that the warrior could move easily in battle, as well as give the wearer a distinctive look that would identify him. It's made of black lacquered iron chainmail, The helmet consists of 24 small rectangular metal plates. It's beautifully restored, and the knots had to be perfectly tied exactly as depicted. Makes you wonder what it really was like to be a samurai warrior.
Well, this armor really is a piece of history. Now, moving back towards Jacob's ladder and the atrium, take the stairs down one level to deck 6. You can pause your iPod.
Chapter 23, Deck 6, Lower Promenade Deck, Midships.
Notice, now that you're at the base of Jacob's ladder, that the marble in the floor is a very special shade of green. It complements the vistosi glass. I remember the day that Gilbert Le Bigre and Franz Dingemans and you and me went from marble yard to marble yard in Pietrasanta trying to find just the right shade and pattern of marble. At each stop, they would take out a spray bottle of water and spray each large block of marble. They actually weigh several tons when you see them in the yard to find just the right one. Well, this showed them what the marble would look like when it was polished. They'd wet it and then they could see the colors better. Well, now it took much of the day, but they finally found this particular piece of marble that you see here. The next time we saw it was when it was cut and polished and installed here.
I remember that day well. You know, Gilbert Le Bigre and his wife, Corinne Roger, have created many works of art for Holland America Line ships. Their lives are filled with art, and not only in their work. Here's Gilbert Le Bigre.
I think the presence of art in the Holland American ship is absolutely unique for what I know on the cruise ship. First of all, I have been always surprised by the quality, the originality of the pieces that are present on the ship. You get some real collections, element, and you can just do a tour just like on a museum, just like the treasures of the galleons of a time, like you can find this atmosphere.
And speaking of treasures, well, on one wall of the atrium on the lower promenade deck is a display case with a remarkable collection of antique skates. And there's a painting entitled Winter Landscape with Skaters by A. Vermeulen, a 19th century Dutch artist. It depicts a winter scene which shows people enjoying the winter weather. There's even a child pushing himself with a sled and other scenes of winter in Holland.
Take a minute to look at the back of the child's sled. It depicts the scene of Jesus walking on the water and helping the Apostle Peter. And the skates themselves have a marvelous history. The oldest known skates are called glissen. That's an old Dutch word which means something like gliders. And they were made of animal bones. You can see some bone skates here in this case. In ancient times and even during the Middle Ages, people used this type of skate to move forward on ice during the winter. The canals in Holland used to freeze every year, so this captures that time. Iron or steel skates only became popular after the 14th or 15th centuries.
Well, it's that time. Time to take the elevators up to the upper promenade deck, Deck 8. Head for the Explorations Café.
Chapter 24, Deck 8, Upper Promenade Deck, Aft. Well, it's sad, but we've come to the end of the art tour. And if you've borrowed an iPod from the Explorations Café, well, now it's time to return it. But your art experience with Holland America doesn't have to end here. You can download podcasts of art tours on this and other Holland America ships from the website at hollandamerica.com. And do continue your art experience aboard Vingdam. You're sure to discover more art as you continue your cruise.
And while you're on board, here are some things to look for. Think of it as sort of homework light. There's a 17th century wine bottle with a stopper still in it. Think about what might be in that bottle. There's some Persian armor from the 19th century and, well, just go exploring. You'll find it great fun. I'm Paul Lassley.
And I'm Elizabeth Harriman. Have a wonderful cruise.
Thank you.